If you smile big, I'll know what you're doing.
What?
We're waiting for two legislators who are ambling across the parking lot, but I think I'll start. So welcome to our September 16th meeting of this august body. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have a roll call of members?
Mr. Dennis?
Amblin.
Mr. Hattery?
Amblin. Amblin some more.
Ms. Herrera?
Aki.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Clairborn?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall has asked to be excused. Ms. Robertson?
I believe the Amblers are finishing up another meeting, so I'm here.
Mr. Shinagawa? Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
Present.
Ms. Chak?
Here.
Mr. Klinkelaer?
Present.
We have 11 members present.
Petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
We have three proclamations this evening. We have one for Latino Heritage Month in Tompkins County. Is Carlos here to receive it? Why don't you come up here while I'm reading it? Carlos Gutierrez is head of the Latino Civic Association. Whereas Latino Heritage Month in the County of Tompkins is joyously celebrated from September 15th through October 15th, 2008, and whereas September 15th was chosen as the starting point for the celebration because it's the anniversary of independence of five Latin American countries, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua, and whereas Tompkins County is home to an active, growing, and civically engaged Latino community, and whereas virtually every aspect of our community's life has been influenced by Latinos, whether in arts, medicine, government, labor, business, or volunteerism, and whereas the 500-year-old Latino culture, steeped in tradition and centered on principles of family and community, strengthens the fabric of our entire society, now therefore I, Michael Klinkelaer, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim the month of September 15, 2008, through October 15, 2008, as Latino Heritage Month in Tompkins County. And together with the entire community, join in celebration and recognition of the Latino community and salute the Latino Civic Association of Tompkins County for its outstanding work on behalf of Latinos throughout Central New York. Congratulations, I think. I understand Kathy will be reading this again or at least saying a few words at one of the celebrations coming up.
Thank you. The Latino Civic Association.
On behalf of the Latino Civic Association of Tompkins County, I thank the legislature body and the community of Ithaca and the Tompkins County, of course, for making it possible to have this proclamation every year between September and October during this season. We are celebrating Latino Heritage Month. In other places, they call them the Hispanic Heritage Month. Whatever it is, we all it's the same party. I encourage you to look for us on the web under Latino Civic Association, tc.org. for programs, civic events, and cultural events in celebration of our heritage. Thank you very much. Good evening.
Thank you, Carlos. I'm not sure anyone is here for Leukemia, Lymphoma, and Myeloma Awareness Month. So I will declare that month during the month of September. I won't read the entire proclamation. And is anyone here for Run, Walk to Work Day in Tompkins County? It's September 19th coming up in 3 days. Well, that will be declared as well for September 19th. I won't read the whole proclamation. Are there any announcements or special orders of the day that anyone's aware of? Privilege of the floor for the public. Is anyone here to speak on behalf of any issue? If so, please speak into the mic. We have a 3-minute time limit. Young people who are here, you're welcome to speak on any topic. Now's your chance to be on camera. Okay. Legislators. Privilege of the floor for legislators. We will actually be delaying the youth award. Normally it would be coming right about now, but the youth is not available to come till about 6 p.m., so we'll, people who are watching at home and some people who are here for that, please stay tuned. But other legislative privilege of the floor. Kathy Lucerera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to take a minute to say I was very glad to see Carlos here tonight and how proud I am of the progress that we've been making in this county. Just so you all know, in 2002, in case you weren't aware of it, Hispanics became the largest minority group in the country. Census estimates the national Hispanic population had increased to 45,504,311 by July 1st, 2007, an increase of nearly 29% from the previous census, or approximately 4% annual growth rate. So we're an important part of your community. We appreciate contributing to the community, and we also appreciate the way that, and I always mention this, food and language are also wonderful contributions that we make to the culture of this and so many other countries. Of course, the other things are equally important, but celebrating food and language are things that we all can relate to. So it's an honor to be Tompkins County's representative of Hispanics on the legislature, but I expect our numbers to increase not just in the county but on the legislature in a short time.
Mm-hmm. Thanks,
Kat. Language and music.
Music, of course, I left that out. How could I?
Anyone else? Martha Robertson?
Thank you. A couple of upcoming events. This Thursday, we've talked a little bit about gas drilling, and there's a forum and a film on Thursday at the it's called Community Forum on Gas Drilling, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Women's Community Building. There will be an award-winning documentary called Land Out of Time, which highlights the often devastating effects of oil and gas drilling on public lands. Speakers will include Mary Jo Long, an attorney from Afton Town Board and Chenango County. I want to just say I'm just collecting information. This apparently is one point of view, so I'm just saying if anybody's interested, this is a point of view this Thursday night at the Women's Community Building. On Tuesday, the 23rd, Jackie Kipple has announced that the Tourism Planning Board has their annual or semi-annual grants workshop for the fall 2008 Tompkins County Tourism Grant Program. So anybody's interested in applying, we really encourage groups from all over the county. So for information, call Jackie. What is the phone number? 274-5551. 274-5551 or jkipola@tompkins-co.org. And finally, I'm really pleased that I got this letter in the mail. I just have to announce, really pleased that there's a groundbreaking, ribbon cutting. We did the groundbreaking last year. Ribbon cutting for the single room occupancy facility on 3rd Street, September 30th at 3 o'clock. Lakeview Mental Health Services is opening the SRO that has been in the works for more than 4 years, and it will, as the letter says, will provide a vital resource for low-income, mentally ill adults. This is the first LEED building of its kind in New York. So thanks to the Office of Mental Health and the Tompkins, the State Office of Mental Health and the Tompkins County Mental Health Department, this is finally about to open for people who really need this service. No local dollars, right? No local dollars. September 30th at 3 o'clock, 320 3rd Street. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. Frank Proto.
First, I'd like to thank Martha for making the announcement about the SRO. You saved me from making the announcement, considering. But the two items I'd like to mention to you and then to follow up on the gas drilling. On Saturday, the 6th, a bunch of us were invited You'll recall I made an announcement at the last county legislative meeting that we were doing the groundbreaking for the Veterans Cemetery up at Sampson. I'm pleased to say that even in the drizzling rain, it took place. There were probably 300 people there. There was quite a nice write-up in the paper about it. And I really want to thank all of you for supporting that effort over the years. It took close to 14 years to get it done. And Senator Nuzzolio was very instrumental in bringing it forward, in addition to the additional $1 million to get it literally off the ground. Because the cemeteries that we have in this area, one in Syracuse and one in Elmira, one in the North Country and one over by Albany, are either full or close to being filled. This is a vital installation for our veterans in this area. There are about 250,000 veterans that are still living in the Finger Lakes region, and this will be very, very worthwhile. So thanks again. In the keeping with tradition about telling you about upcoming events, this Friday out at the Lansing Park is the Vietnam Veterans Watch Fire, 6 o'clock. If any of you'd like to come, you're certainly welcome. It goes on until the fire goes out, which is usually the next day. And it starts just before dusk. Usually there's quite a ceremony, and you're certainly all welcome to attend if you like. At the last meeting, we were talking about gas drilling, and Steve had mentioned that it'd be nice if we could get somebody here to talk about the hydrofracturing procedure. Did I pronounce that right?
Fracking.
Fracking procedure, thank you. And as chairman of the Water Resources Council, we've been working on bringing a speaker, and I wanted to report to you that Dan Carrig has managed to Shanghai an individual probably between his contacts at Cornell and the geology department, and also a representative from Fortuna, which is opening an office in Horseheads. And our hope is that we can have the that speaker at the Water Resources Council meeting in November. As we speak, Kathy Wilsey is trying to pull that together. And I know that Jim waits with bated breath for any new announcements from NYSEG. And at the last meeting, I mentioned that Iberdrola did step up to the plate, and they are going to buy it. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to pick on them as much as I picked on NYSEG, but we'll give it a try, Jim, anyway. Just, you know, hang in there a little longer, okay?
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Greg, a quick question. Dooley?
Frank, in my most recent bill from the utility, it listed by wind from Community Energy being New York State Electric and Gas and Iberdrola Company. So they've already changed
their names.
Their documents.
That's a quick transition. Greg Stevenson?
I usually let this part of the meeting go by with no comment, and tonight I have two comments, but I'll try not to make up for lost time. First, I think a noteworthy passing is the passing of our former sheriff, Bob Howard. When I came to work for the county in 1986, I came to work for Sheriff Howard, and he was, of course, the incumbent sheriff for many, many years, and I think his presence will be missed. We should certainly recognize and remember his service to the county.
Well, we have to take a moment of silence. I was going to recognize also the passing of one of our county employees, Jack Hunter, who was the county records management officer, and in the AIDS ride this weekend, another fellow, Jason Beecraft, passed away. So we need to take a moment of silence for all three of them and let you proceed. Thank you.
Thanks. The second item, most folks know from 1999 to 2003, I served as the fire chief for the Enfield Volunteer Fire Company. That's a 100% volunteer organization. And I was shocked to learn only recently that when the company went to Upper Robert Treeman State Park to do some training, something I'd arranged many, many times when I was the fire chief, the company was now required to apply for and receive a permit from the parks, and were also required to show proof of insurance with the park named as an additional insured. It struck me as somewhat funny that an entity, New York State in this case, would operate a enterprise such as the state park, utilize local resources, and reimburse the local municipality exactly nothing for those resources. And those resources are provided by 100% volunteers, including the person who has to fill out the paperwork and provide the insurance certificate. The state, through their park located in Enfield, expects 24/7, 365 service from this 100% volunteer entity, yet requires that they get a permit to do training on the trails in the park. So if each member arrived individually, they would just be patrons of the park, but because they were all coming together to train for their mission of pulling someone off the long, steep trails between the upper and lower gorge, they had the honor of being required to get a permit and provide proof of their insurance. That's sad at best, in my opinion. A recent fund drive conducted by the fire company in 2006 and 2007 was to purchase an all-wheel drive vehicle that could be used in many cases in the park, and Town of Enfield residents contributed over those 2 years around $10,000 to purchase the vehicle, and it's available to the park and everyone else in town, but unfortunately everyone else pays their fair share, and in the case of the fund drive, a little extra, and the park pays nothing but a little extra trouble. So it's no wonder that it's hard to find folks to do these kind of volunteer jobs, and just getting harder by the day. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. I think we may have a contact at the Finger Lakes Parks.
I think we do too, and I'll follow that up.
Leslin, then Carol, then Jim. A quick follow-up, Frank, to that comment?
To Greg. Greg, how did Old Home Days go?
Old Home Days went well, Frank.
Leslin McBean Claremore.
I just wanted to remind my colleagues as well as those watching that this Saturday two very important events are occurring in Tompkins County. It is my birthday and I declare it a holiday. Setting me aside, more importantly, it is the Tutelo Homecoming Festival. It is one of the largest Native American celebrations and here in Tompkins County, and I encourage everybody to go down to Tutelo Park, which is on Boswick Road in the town of Ithaca, and celebrate, learn about the culture, and be a part of this wonderful event. And secondly, I wanted to mention, it starts at 11 o'clock, that Friday evening, Cornbread, which is the Native American Grammy Award-winning band, NAMI, will be performing as a precursor to the festival. We'll be performing at Pancho Villa, which is a restaurant on State Street. And so I encourage everyone to come out on your Friday evening after Watch Fire and come check out the band and get yourself prepped for the next day celebration at the park. On Thursday, this coming Thursday, for anybody who's driven down Court Street or even around that area, NYSEG is beginning its remediation work, the coal tar remediation, the 300 block of Court Street, and so you will begin to see fencing going up and sheet piling and whatever the things are going in. So NYSEC is having an information session on the 18th, Thursday the 18th, from 7 to 8:30 at GIAC. It's in the Fort, 318 North Albany Street. So it's very, very important, though, for those folks who live in the area, who knew this was coming and haven't had your questions answered. Please do come out to this meeting so that you can get more information about what process they'll be using, etc. And that is on Thursday the 18th, 7 to 8:30 at GIAC. Representatives from NYSEG, NYSDEC, New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, and the New York State Department of Health will all be there to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslin. Carol Chalk?
Leslin, the cornbread performance, is that a Crossing Borders series event, or is that...
I don't know that it is. It might be. I think
yeah,
it is.
If it is, that's a nice stamp of approval for that event, too.
I actually
I just wanted to mention the... I think it's the last in a series of meetings, public meetings, on the Tompkins County Energy and Greenhouse Gas Emissions Plan. There are others around the county, but I happen to have on my calendar the one that's at the library. What is it? Wednesday, September 24th at 6:30 p.m.
Thank you. Tim Dennis?
No, thank you, Mike. You did what I was going to do. I appreciate it.
Okay. Martha?
Well, I'll just add to Carol's that the I know the town of Dryden is October 1st at the town board, and I lost the other ones. But, and about the gas drilling, I'm glad to hear, Frank, that the Water Resources Council is bringing somebody in. Ed and I have corresponded also about Planning Advisory Board and EMC and PDEC. Everybody's sort of interested in putting something together and perhaps working with Cornell on it. So we're sort of we're going to look for some coordination of what we do so that we don't have...
So you should call me.
Let's talk. Okay.
And Frank, a quick comment?
Yeah, I forgot one thing. The this Sunday, Ithaca College's Music in the Park is at 2 o'clock at DeWitt Park. You're all welcome. And bring your friends. There's usually ice cream, cookies, and... sorry about that. Completely slipped my mind.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Leslin.
Because I see some young people sitting here, just reminded me that on the 22nd, there is a youth speak out
at
the Southside Community Center, and I think the focus is more or less on youth political organizing. So please, if you're not too busy, come on down to the Southside Community Center. I think it's around 5 in the afternoon. Does anybody know? And really trying to get youth more involved in our political climate. So please come out.
Did you want to speak to that issue, or?
Yeah. Should I use the microphone?
Sure. Just say your name and
see.
Say your name and what. Your name and where you live.
I'm Maria France, and I live just on West Hill. But before I address the South Side part, I just want to speak on behalf of Tutelo Park. My dad, George France, has actually done a lot for it. I just want to speak that, at least judging from last year when I was there, the festival has grown immensely. There was much more people last year, and it really shows that Indian culture is very alive still. There was dancing, there was storytelling, and there were a lot of people with novelty trinkets, whatnot, really selling. It's just, it was a very successful festival, and hopefully more people will come this year, where not only do you see the culture and you see what they offer, but you can also even tour the park, which is lovely itself. And I'm not sure if they're going to do it this year, but before, there has been fire ceremonies to respect the park. And I had a question about the South Side. Isn't there going to be a meeting soon about a basketball court or something about the public works?
Yes, there is, and that will be tomorrow, the Board of Public Works at City Council.
Great. Thanks for speaking up. If there's no other legislators who'd like to speak, we'll move on. Is there anyone report from a municipal official here? Is there anyone representing a municipality?
At 4:45.
Before we go to our special topic, I think there are some people here who are waiting for the consent agenda. If it passes, they can proceed. So I'm going to skip to the consent agenda if people are ready. There's no appointments, but I'll move to Health and Human Services Committee, Resolution A, Budget Adjustment, Health Department. For Government Operations Committee, Resolution B.
Pull.
Okay. For Government Operations Committee, Resolution C.
Pull.
Okay. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution D, endorsing revised guidelines for arts, cultural organization development program. Resolution E, authorization to accept 2008-2009 snowmobile trail grants and aid. And Resolution F.
Off.
Okay. And Resolution G, Budget and Capital Committee, scheduling a public hearing on the 2009 Tompkins County budget and the 2009-13 Tompkins County capital plan. Who would like to move the consent agenda? Frank moves it. Leslie seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. So we'll just mark those that have been pulled off and put them on your committee reports. And let's go back to our presentation. We have a 10-minute presentation from Joan regarding, Frank, I guess, Cougar Lake Monitoring Plan. Okay.
In my capacity as the Water Resources Council Chairman, Joan Jerkowitz, the Deputy Commissioner for Planning, and Roxy Johnson, who is the Vice Chair of the Water Resources Council, will lead the discussion on the and the presentation on the monitoring plan. But I wanted to give you just a brief update on where we are. And this will take just a couple of minutes. We're here simply to present the plan. As promised, you should have a copy of this on your desks. You should have received it earlier. Looks like this. It says monitoring plan on it. It's taken us about 2.5 years to get to this point and a lot of work. We're here simply to clarify some of the items and to dispel some of the unfortunate comments and some of the misunderstandings that have gone on. I want to draw your attention to the inside first page. I'm not going to read that. You can read that at your leisure, but the summary that's presented there that was written by Roxy on behalf of the council and the special committee that was appointed to chair the partnership between the county and the Water Resources Council on behalf of the county and Cornell University. You can read that. You can also like to draw your attention to the partnership members, the list of individuals that are listed on that page as well, plus the associates. As we go through this, this is just a reminder for your calendars. We are not voting on anything tonight. The vote will take place on the proposed resolution October the 7th, which is our next county legislative meeting. And I'll probably remind you of this during the wrap-up at the end. But if there are absolutely any questions, please get them to either Joan or to Roxy by October 2nd, October 2, so that we have an appropriate amount of time to address them before the October 7th meeting. Please don't wait until October 7th, thank you, to bring your questions forward, because there simply won't be enough time on the day of the meeting to put that together. A lot of effort went into this, and at this point, I would certainly like to turn this over to Joan. Thank you for letting us have 2 hours of your time.
Thank you, Frank. I promise to be under 2 hours.
The cost an ice cream cone. Remember those days, Ed?
Tonight's presentation is going to cover three general areas. I'm going to talk a little bit about the southern basin of Cougar Lake in general to give you kind of the context of what the monitoring plan's about. And then Roxy will talk in a little bit more detail about what's covered in the monitoring plan. and to talk about the monitoring for lake source cooling, which has been the primary focus of concern by the public in terms of the contents of the monitoring plan. And my apologies to everybody who knows all of this, but I have to give a context so that everybody's on the same page. For those of you who are not aware, Cayuga Lake actually extends from Ithaca, its southernmost point, actually north of Seneca Falls, and covers quite a large geographic area. Cayuga Lake is very deep and extends well outside of Tompkins County. However, the very southern end of the lake is what the monitoring plan concerns itself with. So the monitoring plan is not about the entirety of Cayuga Lake. It's only about the southern basin. Now, the southern basin is really quite shallow compared to the rest of the lake. And then it's followed by a very steep drop-off to the deeper parts of the lake. And that drop-off is right around the boundary of the town of Ithaca. So it's kind of easy to spot on a map sometimes. On this map, it's the northernmost portion of what you see covered on the screen. And it's this southern end of Cayuga Lake that has most of the water quality problems that concern the public and all of us. It's this end of the lake that's the focus of our plan. Again, and while the plan touches on some of the other monitoring efforts that are happening in the lake and in the streams that feed into the lake, the real focus of the plan is on this southern basin of the lake. So I want to talk a little bit about what contributes to the southern basin. The southern basin, for its very small area, is actually fed by streams that cover quite a large area. Fall Creek, Cascadilla Creek, Six Mile Creek, and the Cayuga Inlet watersheds all feed into this very small and shallow southern end of Cayuga Lake. And as you can see from that map, it covers about a third of our county and actually extends outside of Tompkins County. And again, all the water that drains from those watersheds all enter into the southern basin of Cayuga Lake. So the inflows into the southern basin come directly from Fall Creek, Cayuga Inlet, which by the time it reaches the lake actually incorporates the Six Mile Creek and Cascadilla Creek watershed flows as well. And in addition, the rest of Cayuga Lake contributes water to the southern basin as the flow of water comes from the north end of the lake to the south and circulates around. So water comes from the north and feeds into the south as well as from the streams leading into the lake. In addition, some of the other sort of contributors of the water in the southern basin includes the point discharges, which are shown here. Those include the Ithaca Area Wastewater Treatment Plant, the Cayuga Heights Wastewater Treatment Plant, and the Lake Source Cooling Plant. In addition, other inputs which don't get a lot of attention but are quite significant, or can be, include overland flow from the surrounding landscape, some of the smaller creeks that are unnamed or don't have as significant a watershed as the ones I've already mentioned, precipitation. Groundwater also contributes to the lake, and in addition to storm sewers that drain to the lake. In working on developing the monitoring plan, one of the jobs of the committee was to identify existing monitoring efforts. And I think I can speak for myself. I won't speak for anybody else. I was very surprised by how much monitoring is already going on in the southern end of the lake. In the southern basin, the Ithaca Area Wastewater Treatment Plant, shown in blue on this map, monitors 37 points. Lake Source Cooling monitors 7 points. Those are the red dots you see. Community Science Institute monitors 5 points. Again, this is just the southern basin. They're the bright green dots. And the RUS unit, the Remote Underwater Sampling Station, which is a stationary sampling station, has 1 point. It's shown in orange there. But that provides pretty much continuous monitoring, whereas the other monitoring efforts are basically someone going out in a boat and collecting water on a periodic basis. But the RUST unit is basically continuous monitoring during the summer months or during the spring, summer, and fall, not in the winter. In addition, I don't have this on a map, but to the north, you should be aware there are other monitoring efforts that continue in the northern part of the lake. Community Science Institute monitors 11 points in the lake. City of Ithaca monitors 4 points. Lake Source Cooling monitors an additional 2 points to the north. And the Ithaca Area Wastewater Treatment Plant also monitors a point to the north. And there are several stream monitoring efforts that go on. We certainly didn't do an exhaustive list. Again, we were focusing primarily on the Southern Basin. But the Community Science Institute, again, the Ithaca Area Wastewater Treatment Plant, and the City of Ithaca all do some monitoring of the streams that feed into the Southern Basin of the lake. I'm going to turn it over to Roxy a little bit to talk about what the plan itself calls for. And I'll be, I guess, running the machinery and helping out where necessary.
First and foremost, the plan calls for continued monitoring of chemical and physical parameters. It also calls for additional monitoring of food web parameters, circulation patterns, and sediment transport, and I'll go into all of that in a little more detail. The food web studies, I don't know if you can see this very well, but this is what I'd like to tell you about the food web studies, but I'm told I don't have 2 hours. So I'm just going to say that all of these organisms are differentially impacted by inputs from the streams. In turn, they have differential impacts on the fish populations, and they can independently impact water quality and nutrient loading and circulation. And most importantly, we don't know much about that in Cayuga Lake. The best knowledge we have right now is from the Great Lakes, which we can extrapolate to Cayuga Lake, but we really don't know distribution and abundance of these organisms. Circulation patterns. The plan calls for deployment of machines called acoustic Doppler current profilers. They provide continuous monitoring of stream water flow and direction, and they are movable. So we propose to use them to fine-tune our understanding of circulation patterns and learn more about the fate and transport of pollutant loads. For sediment transport, sediment carries phosphorus and other pollutants, as well as decreasing water quality by itself. It also can have direct impacts on algal uptake of nutrients, of macrophyte growth, of fish movement and reproduction, and of light availability in the water column. So the plan proposes to learn more about that through circulation patterns and also through some core sampling. As we rolled out this plan, the overwhelming concern has been the plan's recommendations with regard to lake source cooling. So let's go over what the plan says. Right now, in the Southern Basin, lake source cooling has 7 monitoring points. Those are required by DEC. Through our development of the plan, as Joan talked about, we found over 50 other monitoring locations for water chemistry. Of those, 2 are directly overlapping current Cornell permit monitoring locations, LSC 2 and LSC 3. Those aren't numbered, but they are central, the most southern location, and then the one directly north of it, that's LSC 2 and 3. Those are overlapped not only by the Ithaca Area Wastewater Treatment Facility, but also by Community Science Institute monitoring. This plan proposes to reduce that duplication and to defer those 2 locations away from Cornell's monitoring and instead to prefer the Ithaca Area Wastewater Treatment Facility because that monitoring covers the same chemical parameters but also includes coliforms and sediment analyses. Additionally, the plan proposes the study of 2 other current LSC permit monitoring locations, those points being the most eastern and western on the shore, usually referred to as LSC 1 and LSC 4, for those of you that live and breathe the LSC annual reports, as many, many people seem to. They are nearby other Ithaca Area Wastewater Treatment Facility monitoring locations, and we propose side-by-side monitoring and analysis of that data for some period of time. If they prove to give the same information, then again we propose reducing the duplication and adding 2 new locations to the monitoring plan, which would be moved, both the LSC 1 and 4 would both move farther north in the lake, and they would be about at the shelf break. We would like to get more information where the deep water mixes with the shallow water, because that's where a lot of important nutrient dynamics and fluxes take place. If the locations are already giving distinctly different information, then we don't propose a change in the LSC monitoring. We also propose adding Dracinidae monitoring at points 5 and 6 in the intake. Dracinidae are the zebra and quagga mussels. And again, I wish I had 3 hours to go on and on about the ecology, but in my little brief internet surfing, what they found in the Great Lakes is the zebra mussels are crushing the phytoplankton, which is crushing the food for the fish, which is changing commercial and sport fishing. It's also changing the dynamics of total phosphorus without any change in inputs. So I think it's really important that we learn more about these mussels and what they're doing in our lake. Points 5 and 6 in the intake are... Point 6, that'll be easier. I'll start there. The most northern point, it is actually past the shelf break in deeper water. Location 5 is the next southernmost point, so it's on the shelf. So we have a shelf, a deep water location, and then at the intake pipe for Lake Source Cooling, which is in quite deep water. That's what the monitoring plan proposes. The question has been, how does this relate to the current Lake Source Cooling permit? This plan really is not primarily concerned with Lake Source Cooling any more than it's concerned with either of the wastewater treatment facilities. What we want to do is look at the South Shelf in a bigger picture and understand the entire dynamics of the Southern Basin in order to make better informed management decisions. Ultimately, DEC will make the regulatory decisions on the permits for all of the discharges, and we hope that they will take advantage and look at all of the results of all of the monitoring efforts when they make those decisions. We do actually have some monitoring going on already as an outcome of our collaboration with Cornell and with the other monitoring folks. And what we discovered, if I should say this on TV or not, but what we discovered thanks to the city's cleaning efforts in Stewart Park was a stormwater drainage. I work for the city, I say it with affection. was a drainage area that most folks really had overlooked already, and it comes down between the Youth Bureau and the Chamber of Commerce. It is a natural drainage, but it captures stormwater inputs from Cayuga Heights, from Route 13, and from 34. We suspect that water is not of high quality, and it drains directly to the famous Lake Source Cooling Monitoring Site 7, also where all those weeds and bad smells and algal blooms are that folks don't like. So the city has taken upon itself to do some monthly monitoring as well as some storm event monitoring of that discharge water to see if it really is low-quality water and could be contributing to the problem. And Cornell, while they're fulfilling their permit requirements, have also enhanced their monitoring in-lake. So we don't have a lot of data yet, but as we have more, we'll share it with folks and hopefully help answer that question. Frank already pointed out the members of the partnership, and the monitoring associates are also partnership members at this point as well. So I think we're ready now for questions, and apologies for going over 10 minutes, I'm short.
Thank you, Roxy. You did a good job containing yourself. Are there any quick questions? Kathy Lucifer.
Hi there. I have been following this via the minutes from the Water Resources Council, and you answered a lot of my questions, but there are some questions out there in the community that people have specifically about why relocate the Lake Source Cooling monitoring locations when that was part of the original agreement. And I can read from the privilege of the floor from the EMC minutes that says it in much more technical jargon and probably would state my question better if y'all will just indulge me. It says, Walter Hang urged EMC members not to support the monitoring plan developed by Water Resources Council and Cornell. The Speedy's permit for Lake Source Cooling is in technical review by DEC, and sites 7 and 4 are the heart of the analysis. Under the proposed plan, sites 1 and 4 could be allowed to move. Cornell University hasn't done the before and after impact study required by the DEC. Rich DiPaolo said, paragraph 6 of the joint statement, last sentence, says, Water Resource Council supportive, yet the plan is dependent upon diverting funding from Cornell's existing monitoring. establishment of total maximum daily load as a result of being listed on the, this is the technical part, 303D impaired water bodies list, I'm sure those that live and breathe this know exactly what that means, is pretty much nowhere. Suggestion, this could lead to mix and match of data. Lake source cooling data gaps can't be filled with other information. He urged EMC not to support the monitoring plan. What does that mean, and did you fix this?
I'm not sure where to start. Let's see. Cornell has prepared a before and after control impact analysis. They finished the draft, I think, going on 4.5 years ago. And 3 years later, DEC responded with some changes they would like made, and Cornell and DEC are actively engaged in communications about those changes. So that is happening and did happen.
So could we be rushing to judgment and endorsing this before the negotiations between the DEC and Cornell about moving these monitoring sites are done?
Well, I'll speak for myself on that. Personally, I've been involved in looking at the annual reports for Cornell probably for 5.5 years now, and I won't make that mistake again by volunteering to look at gas drilling or anything like that.
And I've got a great project in Fall Creek, Ithaca Zone, that I'd love for you to help us
with. This does not count as our time.
So I am comfortable with what I've seen in the annual report showing that there just is no smoking gun, as one DEC official errantly said and had retracted in the paper over a year ago. But more importantly, we heard in February reports from the Ithaca Area Wastewater Treatment Facility, from the Community Science Institute, and from the Finger Lakes Institute, all independent researchers who have gone out in track of this phosphorus question, looking for the sources and looking for the impacts. And they all came back without conferring beforehand on how they were doing their analyses and on their results, with the same answer. It's not coming from the major point sources. It's dwarfed by storm inputs from the streams, and it's tied to the sediment. And more importantly, which gets to the whole listing, this again is absolutely personal opinion, but the listing of the South Basin as impaired for swimming has a lot to do with how the laws were created and the use existing at the time. There was swimming in the Southern Basin before there was a health department and before there were rules for swimming. So when there was a health department, of course, they granted a permit. But it may never have really met, it certainly never met current swimming regulations. So now it's impaired without the water quality changing. But that becomes a problem. Even though wastewater facilities were developed and then improved upon, and water quality and discharges from those has gotten better and better, we still are not able to meet the swimming. And so that triggers, in legal jargon, which Walter Hang references there, it triggers a possible total maximum daily load regulation being developed. That still is looking at cultural inputs of phosphorus, and what newer studies have shown from Greg Nagel up at Cornell, from a group of professionals working on Six Mile Creek specifically, that source of sediment and the phosphorus bound to it is of natural origin, largely, or from legacy inputs from agricultural practices not today of 100 to 200 years ago. So we respectfully urge DEC to consider all this newer information as they consider how to handle permits of point source discharges and a possible total maximum daily load regulation.
Frank has asked that questions, as they get more specific, be addressed before October 2nd, if we could do that.
Can I ask a fun question? Does this mean we can go swimming someday at Stewart Park, please?
It means that you must acknowledge you'll be fighting nature nonstop. If you're willing to do that, I'm sure you can make it happen.
Thanks, Mark.
I know someone who spent a lot of time swimming in that basin a year and a half ago. Quick question, Dooley Kiefer.
Well, I feel funny asking a question since I'm on that committee, but I'm looking at page 7 of the plan. I'm looking at the recommendations for the lake source cooling points 2 and 3, which you spoke to earlier. And what you said was they are directly overlapped by a couple of wastewater treatment plant monitoring points. and should be replaced by that monitoring. Looking at the language in the plan, it says phasing it out in favor of the wastewater treatment plant points, but it doesn't say who would be doing the monitoring. Would it be Cornell that would move its monitoring to those new points, or would it be someone else doing the monitoring to satisfy Cornell's permit?
What we look to when we develop this plan is that eventually the permit will change, and when the permit changes, we would like to have a plan in place, and these are the things that we would like to see happen at that time. So we don't see Cornell abandoning a permit requirement. That's not part of this plan. It would be after the permit were to change, and this is what we suggest as a community based on our input from the scientists and from our meetings, what we would like to see in place of that in the future. So it isn't quite right to look at that as abandoning permit requirements that exist now. Those will continue on, whatever they are. But should the in-lake monitoring be reduced, we know that the community still has a concern about these discharge locations. And so we do want to have monitoring continue there. We do want to have continuity in the record for the chemical and physical parameters. So for sites 2 and 3, where there's overlap with the Ithacary Wastewater Treatment Facility, we recommend that they go ahead and continue to monitor those, but that Cornell not do those sites. For sites 1 and 4, again, after some period of time to compare data, if there's duplication there, we recommend that the Ithacary Wastewater Treatment Facility continue those general locations while Cornell be responsible for monitoring the new locations farther north.
Okay, so maybe the language in the plan should be amended a little bit to make clear that you're not recommending that DEC phase out those ones now.
I understand
what you've said.
I should say that there have been several recommendations about clarifying pieces of the plan, and we haven't made those changes yet. Other major recommendations include something along the way of a quality assurance project plan, like the EPA has anyone do who does scientific studies, so that the community can have assurance that the data is collected in a sound way and reviewed in a sound way. So we will include those pieces of the plan.
Thank you, Roxy. Our distinguished youth has arrived. I know that there's some quick questions. Mike Ziegler, Martha, and then Frank wants to wrap up very briefly.
I understand we're working on a plan on monitoring, but I guess my bigger overreaching question is, once we have all this data, do we have an idea of what we're going to do with all the data? I mean, are we trying to work on an action plan?
Well, you should always monitor so that you can take the best course of action for management. It's just like having an annual exam at the doctor. You can't know or have early warnings about how to take the best actions if you don't have it. So baseline monitoring is important in and of itself. There isn't a day where all of a sudden it's not useful. So we hope to have that baseline data. We do hope to include, as things come along, you know, emerging concerns. The plan talks about limited monitoring for toxics or emerging contaminants and things like that. Not in an extensive manner, but just to get an early warning for something like that. And should something rise to the top as important, then the plan would be adjusted. What we've discussed is that the group of partners, which is now folks from utilities and scientists at Cornell, the Water Resources Council, and local monitoring individuals, would meet regularly to update the plan as needed and make sure it stayed current with existing science and concerns. Also, we would report to the legislature on an annual basis what our findings were and what our recommendations were for any changes and take input via that process. One thing that wasn't discussed on the slide is that we do have a whole section on outreach. The data will be available on the Internet for anybody in the community who wants to look at it. Annual reports will be prepared and made available on the Internet, anyone who wants to look at that. We're working with the Cuyahoga Lake Watershed Network and the Cuyahoga Lake Watershed Intermunicipal Organization on a lake-wide monitoring document that they are developing, and we want to nest in that and not, again, duplicate efforts. Working with the Floating Classroom to help them take some of our monitoring data and equipment and make it sort of live and understandable to young people and citizens in the community. and also with the Finger Lakes Institute. They weren't on the map, but they actually have a few monitoring points in the South Basin, and they monitor other lakes, other Finger Lakes as well. So they give an important perspective. When we see something happening here, they can help us understand whether it's something that's just happening in our lake or if it's a regional phenomenon.
Thank you, Roxy. A quick question from Martha, then we'll wrap up.
Well, in a way, it's a question to you. I've had a crack at this through PDEQ and in a couple of separate meetings and phone conversations. But I feel strongly that questions should be able to come anytime. That includes at the next meeting when we will vote. And so I hope that Roxy and Joan will be able to come, and maybe others from the Water Resources Council or from Cornell, who would be able to answer questions on the floor. I think that when we, you know, if I ask a question separately, individually, and get an answer, everybody ought to know what's included in that information, and it may stimulate somebody else's question, et cetera. So I would, while I agree with the idea of people paying attention to this sooner than the last minute and trying to get, you know, have a good dialogue with staff ahead of time, I don't think that takes the place of a real conversation the night that we vote.
Every resolution we vote on will have an opportunity for deliberation.
I'm happy to respond to questions and copy all individuals if that's something that you do. I don't want to spam your email, but...
Spam us.
Okay. I think that'd be appropriate.
I think that's general interest.
Through the email.
And Frank, do you want to wrap us up?
Yeah, first I'd like to thank you for the questions tonight and also the fact that you've taken the time to actually go through this. I'd certainly like to thank Joan and Roxy for all the work that you folks have put in on this. Just a reminder on the dates again. If you have questions that you can get to Joan or to Roxy, please do so by the 2nd. That was not intended to cut off any discussion the night of the resolution, but certainly if they involve more research, it would be helpful to have those ahead of time. We're planning to bring this before you in resolution form on the 7th. The question duly asked, I hope we'll at least be able to, Kathy got into the minutes so that can get to Roxy and Joan for clarification in the plan. And one final reminder, this plan is part of our county's comprehensive plan. The effort to develop a monitoring plan is mentioned in the county's comprehensive plan. And those of you that are around this dais that supported the comprehensive plan would be interested in knowing that we're trying to fulfill the responsibility that plan, the comprehensive plan, set forth. Thank you. Thanks, Joan. Thanks, Roxy.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. We're going to go back to a part of our agenda which has legislators have privilege of the floor, and Carol Chalk is going to give our Distinguished Youth Award. Jason?
I'm going to ask Trevor Doherty to come forward.
Welcome.
Hi, it's nice to find you. This is Trevor Doherty, and he is our recipient this month of the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award. Trevor told me that he's someone who feels that the Ithaca community has inspired him to do great things. Well, Trevor, you've certainly done great things for the Ithaca community and beyond. I haven't been able to get out of him exactly how old he is, but the upper limit for this award is 19, and he's had international reach in those years, and I assume you didn't start at zero, so you've done a lot. Trevor was nominated for the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award by Randy Beckman, who's a teacher at Bell Sherman Elementary School. And she doesn't know Trevor, but she was particularly impressed by his initiative in organizing the Human Peace Sign at the Ithaca Festival this past June. I was impressed at that peace sign. It didn't register at the time to me that it was actually somebody one of our youths who had organized that. And also, before I go on, I want to thank and recognize Trevor's parents, Catherine and Tim Doherty, for raising such a fine, upstanding citizen. Tim is sitting in the back there in the pink shirt as well. While Trevor was at Boynton Middle School, he worked with Musicians for World Harmony to organize an all-school dance as a fundraiser for orphans in Uganda, and then a fundraising campaign for HIV/AIDS orphans in South Africa. They raised a total of almost $4,000. This is in middle school. Last year, he began producing internet videos to raise awareness on a variety of causes. Many of Trevor's videos, I went and looked at some of them, use the simple little post-it note as a tool in a very creative way to deliver his messages about topics including world peace and the importance of voting, I noticed. At age 14, he was named a YouTube homepage editor and actually controlled the videos that got highlighted on the site for 4 days. In this position, he was able to promote videos focusing on alleviating poverty and easing the tensions between Islam and the West. He went on to create a video that got to be very well known entitled Stand Up for World Peace, which ended up being viewed more than 700,000 times and was nominated as one of the most inspirational videos on the 2007 YouTube Awards. The success of that video then served as part of his inspiration to create the mass peace move, the mass peace sign in Ithaca. Correct that in the record. Not movement, it's a sign. This past school year, while he was a high school sophomore, Trevor organized the peace sign that was staged at the Ithaca Festival. It attracted, we're arguing about the numbers here, the journal reported it as 5,814. Those were the number of beans that were handed out to people who actually took the beans, but apparently there were a few hundred who didn't get their beans, so they may be able to document over 6,000 participants. It stretched across the big field in Stewart Park between the boathouse and the tennis courts. The Guinness Book of World Records is currently in the process of verifying this attempt. Trevor also just returned from the Democratic National Convention, I learned, in Denver. This was after he got nominated, I learned about this, where he was invited to be a guest of the New York State delegation and where he served as a CNN citizen journalist. And you can find videos about his experiences on the CNN video, CNN.com video page, or you could last week. I don't know what their policy is, whether they keep them up or they take them down. Trevor, unfortunately, he's going to be leaving us for a little while. He's going on to an international boarding school in Swaziland, South Africa, on a full-merit scholarship at the end of December. But Trevor's work is a prime example of how young people can add great value to our community and do. And so I am very pleased to be recognizing him as a distinguished youth and to be presenting him with this plaque. I'll read it. Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award presented to Trevor Doherty in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community, September 2008. And he receives this plaque. And the award itself, in partnership with the Tompkins County Legislature that makes this award, this is also sponsored by Bang's Ambulance Service, Cayuga Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and AMB Awards and Engraving. Each of whom have helped to provide something for so you can remember this day. We have the plaque, a variety of things, ice cream certificates, t-shirts, an emergency kit, which if you don't know how to use, I'll send you to Greg Stevenson over there at the end who can show you something about how to use it. Do you have a congratulations, and do you want to say a few words?
Thank you very much for nominating me for the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award. Rallying people to make positive changes in our societies is already very rewarding, but I appreciate the recognition you've decided to give me. We live in a complicated world, but I know that groups of ordinary, inspired citizens can definitely play a big role in achieving our dreams of international unity and peace. So what encourages me most about receiving this award is not actually that you have decided to nominate me, but that in doing so, you are standing with me in support of world peace. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. We'll move on. I have no chair's report, but in terms of chair's appointments, I'm going to make a temporary appointment because Martha cannot attend and I cannot attend as the alternate at the Tompkins TCOG meeting that's coming Friday, or no, next Friday, so Julie has agreed to serve as a temporary member.
And we're both at NYSAC.
Yes. I guess that's a half announcement that Martha, myself, and Will will be going to NYSAC, I think, two members of administration. So if you looked at your NYSAC packet, a particular agenda item, a particular subcommittee meeting you want us to attend, please alert us, and we'll do our best, if we can't attend it, to get materials. Kathy?
Can I just ask, at the last meeting, there was a question about a potential appointment having to do with, the question had to do with the residency. Was that appointment actually made, or was there research done on it?
That particular board allows five out-of-county residents. That appointment was made.
Thank you.
We move on to reports by county administrator. Steve Witcher.
No report.
And Jonathan Wood, county attorney.
As some of you may remember, and many of you probably don't, several years ago, the legislature authorized the Tompkins County to join with other counties in bringing a litigation against some drug companies which we felt were overcharging on Medicaid. So after many years of this litigation, and we did join, and after many years of this going on, this week we received notice that we're actually going to get a check for at least a part settlement sometime this coming week. The number's not huge. After our expenses, it's about a little over $20,000. But it's certainly better than nothing, and it's been going on for years. So certainly the decision to join that litigation is paying off at least somewhat. And that's my report.
And David Squires, finance director. And I will go back to one of our proclamations. Dick Flavel is here. He wanted to speak to the topic of Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. You want to just take a minute?
I'm sorry to disrupt your meeting. I was home watching my favorite TV show, and I heard there was a proclamation about the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I was completely unaware of it. Nobody told me, but I am a member of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and I want to tell you that we're having a walk on September 25th in Cass Park at the Big Pavilion. This will be the fifth year we've done it. Last year we raised $12,000, and I'd like to invite anyone that's available to come down and walk with us. It's 2 miles. As I say, we start at the Lodge Pavilion and we walk around Cass Park, and we'll have some refreshments and some music, and it should be a good time. September 25th, 6 o'clock.
Thank you, Dick. And if you want to actually take the proclamation to that event, you're welcome to take it with you. Okay, thanks. Are there any resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda? Duly Keeper.
I'd like to add a resolution with a long title, authorizing salary for position above the salary range in the Department of County Administration, appropriation from contingent fund, and amending Resolution 266 of 2007, which was titled, authorizing equal benefits and salary adjustments for management positions with salaries specifically authorized by the legislature to be above the assigned grade. I move it.
Thank you. Is there a second? Pam McAtee seconds. This takes 10 votes to add to the agenda. There's a discussion. Martha?
Julie, I thought I heard something about that management should be confidential in the title.
No, because that's the title of the resolution that we're amending.
Okay.
Are we ready to vote? It's to add to the agenda. All in favor, please raise your hands and keep them up.
Aye.
That's 10. Opposed? 4 opposed. That's now added to the agenda. Are there any other resolutions to be added to the agenda? Mike Sigler.
I'd like to add resolution number J, authorizing county administration a contract with the current executive assistant to the county administrator to act as a consultant in the transition to a new county administrator.
So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Frank Proto seconds. Is there discussion about adding? Are we ready to vote? All in favor of adding this to the agenda?
That's good.
That's 3 in favor and opposed. I believe that would be 11. That fails. Are there any other resolutions to be added or withdrawn? Okay, we'll move on. We'll add that one at the end of the meeting. Because we've already done the consent agenda, we will move on. I'm going to put Government Operations Committee first because someone's waiting for 2 items on that consent agenda after the report. So Mike Hattery could report on that committee.
Yes, I pulled. Let me do the 2 resolutions that I pulled from the agenda. And the continuing decline of the finance industry and New York State's cutbacks. Greg Potter notified me before the meeting that we've been notified that all the grants from the Local Government Records Management Improvement Fund are being reduced by 6%. So I'd like to, I will introduce these sequentially with the understanding that the dollar amount in these resolutions will be reduced by 6% and will be adjusted appropriately later. So I'll introduce Resolution B, which is authorization to accept a grant from the State Archives and Budget Adjustment, Tompkins County Clerk.
Is there a second? Frank Proto, is there discussion? Pam McAsee?
Yeah.
Oh, you just, Frank and then Martha.
Do we have a copy of this one?
Yes, it's B revised.
And I'm sorry, I was introducing the revised as they were revising committee on Friday.
So it should be in your red folders under revised. Frank Proto and Martha.
Yeah, I think we need to clarify, and this will be true of Resolution C as well, the revised Resolution C. Having served as the chairman for the 10-county region that brought this brought these grants into the county some 15 years ago, I want to remind this board, and some of you weren't on this board at that time, the grants are competitive grants, and they're usually we collect anywhere from $11 to $15 million a year at the state level. These are generated through the county clerk's collection. These are not tax monies. These are fees. And this is a brand new, what I'd like to say, I can't say on
edict
TV. It's a brand new procedure introduced by the state as to tapping fees instead of taxes to withhold monies. This is also a reminder that the archives program through which we've been successful, we have, over the years, we have in this county, between the county and between all the municipalities, between the soil and water district, between fire companies, fire districts, excuse me, any organization that is governmental in nature, BOCES, the school districts have had access to these grants, and we've been very successful at bringing them into our county. We got hit earlier this year with a $500,000 reduction in these grants. So this 6% is on top of that, and I can't emphasize enough that it probably will generate a letter. I will generate a letter as a legislator, but also I was also a commissioner with LGRAC, which is the umbrella organization through state ed, as a commissioner. Which oversaw all of the counties that one of which commissions, one of which I chaired. This is, in my estimation, this is thievery by the state, and it's a process that has not been used before. certainly not with the archives grants. And I find this very unprofessional on behalf of the state of New York to be stealing money. And I hope Tim Ashmore is still here. You can put it in the paper that way, Tim, that this is stealing money from the fees that are collected through the county clerk's offices.
I'll remind people that this is a consent item generally, and it's only a decrease of 6%. Martha?
On top of a half a million.
Only, you know, only a decrease of 6%. I think everything, you know, only a decrease of 2%, then 6%. Will the scope of work be modified? I mean, it's so that the office can just do a little less of the work that it was proposing to do with the grant?
That's a good question.
Greg, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, both of these projects will be fine with the reduction of money, but we will have to do a little less. I mean, we'll just have to scale back the projects a bit.
Are we ready to vote? Frank Proto, quick.
Well, Greg, while you're at the microphone, can you give this board some idea, just briefly, in a minute or less, what some of these grants, the type of work some of these grants have funded, like the GIS system and whatnot?
Sure. There's various categories. The primary ones that I'm familiar with are inactive records, so that's kind of paper records and how to manage paper records and purge paper records. Active records, which in this day and age tend to be digital information, that's the category which we use to apply for funding for the legislature's office grant that's going to be used to improve the process and documentation for minutes, agendas, and minute-based information. And then there's a whole GIS component as well. There's two others which I can't remember right now. But
are we ready to vote?
How about collaborative grants? With
yes, and there's collaborative intermunicipal grant categories. So
thank you. Sorry.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That's unanimous. On to C.
I'll now introduce revised resolution C with the additional revision of a reduction in 6% from the $64,000. Authorization to accept a grant from New York State Archives and budget adjustment Tompkins County Legislature.
Is there a second? Frank Proto. Is there discussion? Ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Is anyone opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. Is there a committee report besides those two resolutions, Mike?
I'll mention two items. I was delayed out of town and I missed most of the meeting, and then I'll let the vice chair update anything she thinks should be added. We're going to be bringing forth, or we're going to be considering at our next meeting, a resolution to continue the core performance initiative. And at our meeting, we also initiated a discussion regarding the dedication of a bench in front of the courthouse.
Thank you.
And those will be coming forward through committee.
Thank you.
Julie, is there anything you should add?
No, those were the highlights.
Great. I appreciate the highlights. There's no for Martha.
You're ready to move on to another committee. I don't know if Ed is just waiting for PDQ.
Oh, that's helpful. Sure. Well, I was going to go to public safety, but it's good to know. So we'll move to planning, development, environmental quality. Martha Robertson, chair.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. We met on September 11th, and our next meeting is October 8th, a Wednesday. We decided to shift that from the Thursday because of Yom Kippur. And so that's, I just want to make sure everybody knows, and staff has been alerted and is on board with that. So Wednesday, October 8th at 3 o'clock is our next meeting. There were a lot of discussions about things, but you've already gotten resolutions on a consent agenda. And one of the areas that we did talk some time about was the first-time home buyer program. If people may remember that we had adjusted the criteria for new construction for homes that would be eligible for buyers under this program. The Oversight Committee had crafted some new criteria and more clear guidelines. They brought those to us for conversation and review, and we had a few comments and basically felt that it was in good shape and agreed that it should go ahead and they should implement those guidelines. We talked about the Convention and Visitors Bureau budget, some discussion on bylaws changes for the Strategic Tourism Planning Board, and the hospitality program that the workforce has been working on with them. We spent probably the most time on budget issues related to the workforce, the WIB, and the One Stop Center, which, of course, you heard, was that just yesterday? Yesterday. And it's a little water. So it's it was a very full agenda. We keep finding ourselves completely exhausted at the end of more than 2 hours because we've been rushing to trying to get through everything and give it some respect to each topic and never quite get there. So anyway, those are the highlights. Again, October 3rd, October 8th is the next meeting. And maybe we'll get to liaison reports at that time. Thank you for taking us out of order.
You want to move Resolution F?
I thought that was on consent. Oh, right. It was off, came off consent. Absolutely. Authorizing shared municipal services grant agreement with the state of New York for the countywide water and sewer evaluation. So moved.
Is there a second? Carol Chalk. Is there discussion? Frank Proto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I ask that this be pulled so that perhaps we could turn to Ed and get the clarification on exactly what this grant will be used for. It's not used to put water and sewer in, but to collect information, but Ed described it well at the committee, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. This is to really update inventory of public water and sewer facilities countywide, identify where there are problems and deficiencies in those systems that may be impairing growth and development in communities where it's desired, and identify opportunities that may exist to remedy those deficiencies. It's strictly a study grant, does not include any funding for implementation, and doesn't imply how implementation might proceed.
This is on behalf of the Tompkins County Council of Governments.
Yes, the county is acting on behalf of the Tompkins County Council of Governments.
And it will be carried out by TCED and with T.G. Miller Associates. And I want to mention that the amount here, $91,383, is a reduction from the original grant amount of about 3.5%.
Right.
And Heather Filiberto said that that was not a, a game changer, that, that they could deal with that reduction and manage that in the scope of work.
Kathy Lucevera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I noticed in the last whereas it mentions that Tompkins County Industrial Development Agency agreed to provide the local share of funding for this project. I can't figure out where that is in here. Is that under contributions from other governments?
That's right.
Is that the 9,138? Is the TCIDA the other government?
Yeah, we voted on that. Before Martha Armstrong applied, we voted that we would, you know, authorize that expenditure if the grant were received.
It just seems odd wording that it's from other governments. It's, that's all. I know that's how you usually do it, but that's what I was trying to track down. I'm fine with the contribution from IDA as a member. I know I voted for it. I just thought it was odd wording that it's from other governments when we've been asserting the importance of independence of the IDA.
So, well, I assume that's just the account number, right, David?
Yes, it's a way New York State defines payment from another unit of government.
Frank Potter, you had a question?
Ed or Martha, should we anticipate, I can't remember, did Heather tell us that we should anticipate a 6% cut in this grant also? Or does this reflect a cut based on the 2% already?
No. It reflects the cut they were going to make in this program already.
But I think it was 96.5% of the original grant amount, so 3.5% down.
So it's already down about 3.5%.
Right.
Are we ready to vote? Steve Butcher?
Should this be pending action by TCCOT?
Because
they haven't formally accepted it yet.
It seems to me that it They did move before Martha wrote the application to to authorize her to do that and to participate, and that their engineers, the municipal engineers, would participate, et cetera.
I think on TC Cog agenda that this is on there to accept it. That's
It is. I mean, the language, it's on behalf of TC Cog. That was the way it was applied for.
It probably won't disturb anything. I was just...
Ed, you had a quick...
No, I think it's just trying to move this forward, recognizing we weren't going to do anything, sign anything until TC Cog passed their resolution, but getting this one in place so that we can quickly get the agreement back to the state before they decide to change the numbers again.
Change the rules. Well, then let's vote quickly. All in favor? Are there any opposed? Thank you. That's unanimous. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Martha.
Thanks again.
This has been a nice trend for the first two committee reports to give highlights, so I'll go back to the beginning of the agenda and hope the others can follow. Public Safety Committee, Greg Stevenson, Chair.
I have no report. We haven't met since the last meeting. We'll meet again Friday the 19th at 2 p.m. That concludes my report.
Woo!
Thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McDean Claiborne, Chair.
WDIC will meet on September 24th, 3:30, and the Beverly Jake... Let's say conference room services building. Lee J. Martin.
If there's no questions, on to Health and Human Services Committee. Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since we picked up all that time, I'd like to give you a couple of highlights of the Health and Human Services Committee met on the 3rd. We did have an interesting presentation on, from Catholic Charities with regard to immigrant services and the need for some tightening up and also for some expansion, considering the number of immigrants that we have in this community. It was a very enlightening presentation. I encourage you to read the minutes of our committee. The Lisa gave us a few words about Lakeside and about Lifelong. Lakeside, at this point in time, is not anticipating any more fallout from the state. They're moving ahead with the with continuing their services. The Lifelong agreement with the city is moving somewhat more slowly, but the material is coming together. Remember, that involves an MOU, but it also involves Lifelong developing some credibility, I guess, in getting their board of directors to sign on to the monies that they have to raise. Teresa Lesko did give us an update on the health promotion program, which some of you will be pleased to know involves a tobacco awareness piece. In the budget presentation that we had from the health department, the community nurse that was discussed there was this nurse, the nurse that's associated with this program. We've already done the vehicle purchase. That'll come up under the budget. And Nancy Zaylor gave us a few words about the student survey that we've been working on. I won't go into any more of this. Martha's already reported on the SRO that will be, we've all been invited to. I think everyone received a similar letter. And this is the next regularly scheduled meeting of the Health Committee is October 1st, but tomorrow we're having a special committee meeting, and the committee members have already received a memo from me about it. The committee thought it would be a good idea for us to put our heads together just so that we could understand what parts of the budget we might have questions on among the five of us. We've invited any department head or any agency head that wants to sit in. We're not expecting presentations from them. There'll be no voting, but simply for us to kind of feel each other out a little bit as to whether there might be concerns among the five of us. Any one of you that are so predisposed are welcome to sit in. I know you're all busy, but that will take place at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at the Old Jail Conference Room. Thank you.
Thank you for the highlights. You have Resolution H, which is a short form roll call.
Resolution H, appropriation from contingent fund terminal pay reimbursement office for the aging. Sure. And I so move.
And is there a second? Greg Stevenson seconds. Short form roll call.
Mr. Dennis?
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Just say yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Would anyone like to be registered as a no? That is unanimous. Thank you very much, Frank.
You're welcome.
On to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Leslie McBean Claiborne Chair.
F and I will meet on the 18th, this coming Thursday, at 3:30 in the Old Jail Conference Room.
Thank you. Human Resources Committee, Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Mike. Last meeting we had a discussion that was brought to us by Brooke from HR, and it concerned a program, and the name escapes me, but I think it's called the Step Up Program, and what it involves is that every employee who signs up for this program gets a pedometer for free, and they try to achieve 10,000 steps. And what we're trying to do with that program is to get people walking and hopefully achieve a better health, a better group of employees who are more healthy. I thought it was a really interesting program. If we have pedometers for every member of the legislature and anyone else who wants to join in that, and I don't have them with me, but they're available. The next meeting in the committee is October 2nd, 3:30.
And if you need to cheat with the pedometers, you just have to shake them.
If you use a hammer drill, it really moves the numbers.
Thank you.
It's 10,000 steps a day.
Yes. 10,000 steps.
10,000 steps a day.
You just said achieve 10,000 steps.
No, I'm sorry, a day. And interestingly enough, it doesn't take very long.
No. Although I did wear mine for my regular 5-mile run in the morning, and it was 7,900 steps. So if you go 10,000, you may have walked more than 5 miles.
So
done.
Back it off then?
No, that's still the goal.
Take shorter steps.
Budget and Capital Committee, Nathan Shinigawa, Chair.
Yes, all of you have been at the Budget and Capital Committee meetings, and so I don't really have anything to report. I must say that this seat is a lot more comfortable than the one up there, so I'm happy to be where I am right now. And that's all.
Thank you. And we have a member file resolution which was added to the agenda. Dooley Keeper?
Yes, should I read the title again?
I don't think you have to. It was added. So you can move Resolution I.
I would like to move Resolution I.
Is there a second? Pam Magasey seconds.
And I'd like to make an addition to the fourth whereas.
Okay.
The fourth whereas will then read, whereas on October 28, 2008, a new county administrator will be in place and the legislature wishes to facilitate a smooth transition.
And would you like to change the wording in the first resolve to take out on recommendation of?
That's appropriate.
Okay, so that's what's been moved with the change. Is there deliberation? Is there discussion? Are we ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution I as amended?
Aye.
I'm sorry. Kathy informs me it's a short form roll call.
I do have a question.
Okay, Frank.
Can you say, just for the record, what the final dollar amount is? Pam and I had a brief conversation beforehand, but can you say what this, since the general listening public or viewing public doesn't have a clue as to what these numbers are, can you at least identify what the numbers are?
Yes, sure. This resolution is to help our new county administrator have staff on hand knowledgeable in the depth and scope of work necessary to be an assistant to him. And the resolution raises the salary for that the incumbent in that position to $60,000. Is that what you're asking, Frank?
Yeah. What is the current salary now?
I think 57.5 or 6, something like that.
Yeah, I don't have it in my head, but that sounds right.
And this position was just reclassified, wasn't it, Duda?
I believe it was reclassified effective sometime in February.
Any further questions before we vote? Mike Sigler.
I don't really have a question. I would like to speak on it, considering we spoke on it at length in committee.
Sure.
It seems kind of odd if we would just move to a vote on this. I don't really have a big... My problem with this is not so much what we're trying to accomplish as to how we're getting there. And it just seems to me that we're trying to keep someone in a position and offering them a set amount of money to do that when we wouldn't do the same thing for other positions within the county. And to me, what you're basically going to do through this resolution is you're making it so people will be able to negotiate their salaries throughout the county and throughout our county employee, and you're making some employees indispensable. And I feel that you're going to set off a ripple effect throughout our county workforce with this resolution, and it won't be a good ripple. So although I appreciate the feelings of the county executive or the of Mr. Witcher and Ms. Marianne, I believe, in this resolution, I think the damage that will be wrought because of it outweighs the feelings of a lot of the members of this legislature.
Thank you, Mike.
I think there are other ways to do this. I think we should consider those other ways before we do this.
Kathy Lucerera, then Dooley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'd like to ask that this be a roll call vote. And second, my comment on this is this. Many of you have may have noticed that I tend to think very carefully and vote sparingly to increase salary lines of management and confidential employees. This is a situation and a position that I think calls for it. And I think that's enough said.
Dooley Kiefer.
Well, I want to speak to Mike's concern that somehow this will open the doors for lots of requests by employees and say that this salary figure is not generated by a request from the incumbent. It's done by the legislature to help ensure that we will have staff in place when Joe arrives. It's our effort, and it's a unique situation. The legislature, I trust, has not and will not be involving itself in individual departments' reclassification and salary matters. But this is the top employee in our county government, and we as legislators should be very concerned about how we make sure that his arrival and transition into this job go as well as possible. And that's why I'm supporting this. It has nothing to do with setting a precedent or opening floodgates or anything like that.
Kathy has asked for a long-form roll call. Any further questions? Frank, Martha, Jim.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm a little troubled by the, and I've spoken to several of you today about the concern that I've had about the process. Some of us weren't brought into this until quite late, within the last week or so, and haven't been aware of some of the negotiations, if you will, or discussions that have gone on. It's hard to separate the person from the position in this particular case, because we're trying to accommodate the new county administrator, and that's what I've heard. And I think in that regard, that's right, because the walking into a black hole with no staff could be a little difficult. The impression that I'm concerned about, too, is our other 750 county employees. It's a little awkward, and I was listening to Mike Sigler about negotiating individual salaries. Is it possible that this person would stay on for just the increase due to the change in classification rather than adding additional monies? Does anyone know the answer to that?
I can affirm what Dulius shared, that this is not a negotiation with this employee. This was a legislative initiative to ensure continuity. So I don't believe we have an answer to that question. If anyone else does, let me know. Otherwise, we'll move on to Martha Robertson, then Jim Dennis.
I'm also disturbed by this. I will support it, but because I believe the end result is important. But I'm very unhappy with how we got here, and I wish the committee process had been respected. I think this would have been very simple if it had been respected. I would like to say that my feeling is that every one of our employees is valuable and important, and that's why we have rules and policies, so that they're treated fairly and everybody knows the rules and policies and they're treated the same way. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. And Jim?
Thank you, Mike. I feel an obligation to do this as chair of the committee. I did not support this at the committee level. And I have a couple questions if people want to answer. We received a letter, and the question I have about the letter is there's some reference to the reclassification. And are we talking about, does this letter refer to the reclassification that was affected by Steve and Mike, or does it have to do with the whole resolution that we now have?
It refers to the resolution on the floor tonight. I think the letter refers to the phrase reclassification. The intent of this resolution is encapsulated in that phrase, which is referring to tonight's resolution.
Thank you for that. I cannot support this for a number of reasons. First of all, there are 750 employees in this organization. There are 15 legislators. There are many people who hold many jobs. None of us, or all of us, are replaceable. I understand what the crux of the resolution is, that we're looking for some transition or a more smooth transition. It makes sense to me, but not at this price. The reclass took place. It increased the employee's salary a fair amount of money, and I think you all know what that is. This will a 10% increase. This will now be, if this resolution passes, about 14.5%. And who among us would not accept a 14.5% increase? Clearly, I would if I were still teaching school. But what we have is we have 750 employees. We have a white-collar bargaining beginning in January. We have an arbitration for the road patrol on October 27th, or I believe. And part of that arbitration hearing is a discussion of the ability to pay, and either or the inability to pay that a municipality has. Clearly, this kind of an action represents our ability to pay. And what we're paying is for some sort of transition. I'm not certain that the transition couldn't take place at a lower salary, or at least at the reclass salary. That to me seemed to be a big increase, a 10% increase, which always comes with the reclass. But I can't support this. And the final thing is that, you know, people seem to be passing off lightly the fact that we have many confidential employees, we have many management employees, none of whom are covered by a bargaining unit, and now they have the opportunity to bargain with us. And all they need to do is is talk to their supervisor and talk about their value and say, the county legislature has done this once, they're willing to do it again, apparently, or maybe not willing. But it clearly opens the door for that, and I think it sends the wrong message to all our employees, management, confidential, our union-covered employees.
Thank you, Jim. Are we ready to vote? It's a short, long-form roll call. Martha?
I don't see anywhere in the resolution where this money comes from, what department, what... It's from contingent fund, I guess. Now, does this mean an increase in the target for administration? What's going on?
It would mean a $2,400 target for the 2009 budget.
Okay. So the salary. So the numbers that are here refer to the salaries to the whole package since February. That was since her
Correct.
Salary was increased.
Right.
And for 2008, where is that coming from?
From the contingent fund.
Not from administration.
No, administration has maybe $50.
Are we ready to vote?
I have a question.
Mike and then Carol.
So this letter that we got from, well, there's a letter here that refers to it as a reclassification. I just want to make it clear. This is not a reclassification, right? This is the creation of a red circle
Correct.
Position.
Correct. And Carol.
Just as a newbie, which you all accuse me of all the time, I just want to comment that I don't see this as about being about indispensability of anybody, and I don't see it as being about us ever being able to create an ideal. But I do see it as about responding to where we find ourselves today and where we want to go from here into the future and creating the best environment that we can. And so I will support this.
Thank you. I think we're getting close to being ready to vote. One final comment from Pam.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that this really isn't a 14.5% increase, as Jim is saying. There was a reclassification, and a reclassification, it's not just that would not be the same, comparable to an employee, a negotiating committee coming in and asking for 14.5%. Much of this, it's a 5% increase. She was reclassified, the position was reclassified, and so I think that it is misleading to say it is a 14.5% increase.
Frank Proto.
Over the last couple of years, sitting around this dais, some of us have heard, I have heard some of you express concern about process. And as I've spoken to some of you today, I am really concerned about the process and what got us to this point. What reassurance do we have that the way that this was done is not going to happen again? Is there anyone that can answer that question? We have a process in place that is set out in the administrative procedures. And as I understand it, there was some adaptation of that, that's the kindest word I can use, it wasn't followed. So what reassurance do we have that it isn't going to happen again?
You mean for the original reclassification?
Yeah.
Dooley.
At the HR committee meeting today, I made a request that the committee specifically revisit our policy on reclassification and see if it needs any adjustment. So I trust, and Jim said that would be on an agenda soon, I believe. So I think that you don't have to worry.
So any further discussion before we vote? Jim?
I just want to point out that what Pam says, it's a 5% increase, yes, from what the reclass was, but from 8/15 until 9/16, it's a 15% increase.
Any further discussion? Martha?
I think the point, maybe, if I can put words in your mouth, Frank, is that, we have a policy
that's... We've been doing a lot of that lately.
Yeah. We have a policy...
I'm in the middle here, y'all. Spare me now.
And I think we're agreeing. We have a policy on the books that wasn't followed. So reviewing the policy, you know, if it opens up a broader discussion, then maybe we'll understand better what happened here. But
vote tonight is on...
If we have a policy, if it's not followed, what good is the policy?
Right.
Vote tonight is on resolution I. It's a red circle vote. Any further discussion before we vote? Jim Dennis.
One more comment. I'm very disappointed that Mr. Marion got involved in this and was asked to be involved in it. Other than, that's all. I just want to say that he was asked to be involved in this.
Thank you. Long-form roll call.
Mr. Dennis?
No.
Mr. Hattery?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
I want the record to reflect that this is a reluctant yes from me.
Mr. Proto?
And I want the record to reflect that this is a reluctant no for me.
Ms. Robertson?
Reluctant yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
No.
Mr. Sigler?
No.
Mr. Stevenson?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplinka-Lair?
Yes.
10 ayes, 4 noes.
Thank you. If there's no other member filed resolutions, we'll move on to minutes of the previous meeting, August 19th and September 2nd. We'd like to move them both. Martha Robertson moves them. Is there a second? Frank Proto seconds. Is there any discussion? Martha?
Yeah, there's one vote I think we need to make sure we get. On August 19th minutes, page... Hold on, I'm sorry.
It's the third
16.
Word on page 16.
Page 16, this is the motion confirming the appointment of our administrator. And you have down that the four of us who weren't there voted no. I think that would be bad to leave in, so I just want to mention that. I know that staff would correct it. I just wanted to raise it on the floor.
Any further clarifications? We're ready to vote. All in favor of the minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? And there's no executive session. Motion to adjourn. Greg Stevenson, Ms. Rare, all in favor?
Aye.
Business is now adjourned. Thank you.